Have you ever stood at the fence at a fly-in, watched a turbine spool up, and thought about what's actually happening in that engine? Fuel and air, compressed, lit, and thrown out the back. It's combustion. It's fire. We've been flying on controlled fire for 100 years. Now imagine an airplane that makes its own electricity out of hydrogen and the oxygen already floating around it. And the only thing that comes out the back is water. I'm Vector. And this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today, we're gonna break down hydrogen electric flight. Not the hype version, the engineering version, what it really is, why it might matter, and every place it can bite you. Let's get into it. Before we do, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, one coin at a time, beautifully made and built to last a lifetime in your pocket or on your shelf. That's AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's break this down and let's start with the thing everybody gets wrong. When people hear hydrogen airplane, they picture two very different machines and they mash them together in their heads. The first is a hydrogen combustion engine, where you burn hydrogen in something that looks a lot like a jet engine. Airbus has looked hard at that path. That is fire. Different fuel, but still fire. The second machine is the one we're talking about today. It doesn't burn anything. It's a fuel cell. And the company pushing hardest on it for real airplanes is ZeroAvia. So what is a fuel cell? Here's the analogy. You already carry a device that turns chemical energy into electricity. It's your battery. In a battery, the chemistry is sealed inside. You charge it up, you drain it down, and when it's dead, you charge it again. The energy lives in the box. A fuel cell is different. A fuel cell is a battery that you refuel instead of recharge. The chemistry doesn't live inside. You feed hydrogen in one side, you feed air in the other side, and as long as you keep feeding it, it keeps making electricity. Run out of hydrogen, you pump in more. 2 minutes, not 2 hours. Here's what's happening inside, and it's genuinely elegant. Hydrogen gas flows in. At a special membrane, each hydrogen atom gets split into a proton and an electron. The proton slips through the membrane, the electron can't. It's forced to go the long way around, through a wire. And electrons flowing through a wire that is electric current, that is the whole trick. You're using the membrane to force the electrons to take a detour, and you harvest the detour. On the far side, those protons and electrons meet up again with oxygen from the air, and they combine into water. Hydrogen plus oxygen makes water and electricity. That's it. No combustion, no carbon, the exhaust is water vapor and warm air. The data tells an interesting story here, and it's about efficiency. A gas turbine on a good day turns maybe 30 to 40% of the fuel's energy into useful shaft power. The rest goes out the tailpipe as heat and noise. A fuel cell can convert something like 50 to 60% of the hydrogen's energy into electricity. It's fundamentally more efficient at pulling energy out of the fuel because you're skipping the whole messy business of heat and expansion and spinning turbine blades. That electricity then drives an electric motor, and the electric motor spins the propeller. So from the prop's point of view, this is an electric airplane. Quiet motor, instant torque, far fewer moving parts than a turbine. It just happens to carry its own power plant that makes electricity on demand from a tank of hydrogen instead of hauling a giant pack of heavy batteries. And that last point is the whole reason anyone is doing this. Here's what most people miss about battery airplanes. The problem was never the motor. Electric motors are fantastic. The problem is energy density. How much usable energy can you pack into each pound you carry? Jet fuel is spectacular at this. A pound of jet fuel holds an enormous amount of energy. The best aviation battery packs we have hold something like 40 to 60 times less energy per pound. 40 to 60 times. That's why a pure battery airplane can be wonderful for a trainer doing 45-minute hops and hopeless for a regional airliner that needs to fly 300 miles with reserves. Hydrogen changes that math. By weight, hydrogen is astonishingly energy dense. Per pound, it carries roughly 3 times the energy of jet fuel. 3 times. So if you could just carry hydrogen the way you carry Avgas, the range problem would basically evaporate. You feel the catch coming, don't you? Because you're a pilot. And pilots know there's always a catch, usually hiding in the word weight or the word volume. The catch is volume. Hydrogen is the lightest thing in the universe, which means it's incredibly fluffy. As a gas at room pressure, a useful amount of hydrogen would need a tank the size of a barn. So, you have to do one of two hard things. You either squeeze it to enormous pressure, 5,000 to 10,000 pounds per square inch in heavy carbon fiber tanks. Or you chill it down to a liquid at minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit, colder than almost anything you will ever encounter, and you keep it that cold in a flying thermos. Neither of those is easy, and that split, gaseous versus liquid hydrogen, is the single biggest fork in the road for this entire technology. Gaseous is simpler and available now, but the tanks are heavy and bulky and limit your range. Liquid hydrogen is where the real range lives, but keeping a cryogenic liquid stable on a bouncing airplane, through cold soaks at altitude and hot ramps in Phoenix, is a genuinely unsolved operational problem. It's not physics that's stopping it. The physics works, it's engineering and plumbing and boil-off and safety. And those are the things that actually take years. So who's building this, and how far along are they really? Let's talk about ZeroAvia, because they've done the thing that separates a real program from a slide deck. They've flown. ZeroAvia is a company with operations in the United Kingdom and the United States, founded by Val Miftikov. Their calling card is a 19-seat class of aircraft, the Dornier 228, a rugged twin turboprop commuter. They pulled one of the two engines off and replaced it with a hydrogen electric powertrain. Left engine, conventional, right engine, hydrogen electric. And in January of 2023, out of Cotswold Airport in England, they flew it. Now, be honest about what that flight was. It was not a 19-seat airliner full of paying passengers crossing a mountain range. It was a testbed, flying on one hydrogen electric engine and one conventional engine, on a compressed gaseous hydrogen system, on relatively short flights. That is exactly how you'd expect a responsible flight test program to look. You don't bet the whole airframe on new tech. You keep a known good engine on the other wing, and you expand the envelope one careful flight at a time. As an engineer, that's the part I actually respect. It's honest. Their first product is a powertrain they call the ZA600, aimed at that 9 to 19-seat commuter class, the little airplanes that fly the routes the big jets ignore. And they've got a bigger one on the drawing board, the ZA2000, aimed at the 40 to 80-seat regional turboprops, the ATR and Dash 8 world. That's the ambition. Start small, where the energy demands are survivable, and scale up as the tanks and fuel cells mature. They are not alone. Universal Hydrogen, another company chasing this, actually flew a larger Dash 8 testbed with a hydrogen electric engine before running into financial trouble, and that's a lesson in itself. Airbus has its ZeroE program studying hydrogen, though they've publicly stretched their timelines. And there's a whole ecosystem of fuel cell and motor and tank suppliers underneath all of it. This is a real field with real hardware, not one company's dream. So let's do the honest ledger. Pros and cons, no thumb on the scale. The promise. First, zero carbon at the airplane. The exhaust is water. If, and this is a huge if, the hydrogen itself is made cleanly using renewable electricity, so-called green hydrogen. Then you have genuinely low carbon flight. That's the prize. On top of that, you get quiet operation because an electric motor and a propeller make a fraction of the noise of a turbine, fewer moving parts, which could mean lower maintenance over time. And fast refueling, minutes not hours, which is the thing pure battery airplanes will never give you. Now the problems, and I want to give these real weight, because anybody who waves them away is selling something. Problem 1. Making clean hydrogen at scale is hard and expensive today. Most hydrogen made right now comes from natural gas, which produces carbon dioxide. If you fly on that hydrogen, you haven't actually solved the carbon problem. You've just moved it to a factory. Green hydrogen, made by splitting water with renewable electricity, exists but is costly and scarce. The airplane can be perfectly clean and the fuel supply still dirty. Problem 2. Airport infrastructure. There is no hydrogen pipeline network at your local field. None. You'd need production or delivery and storage and refueling equipment at every airport that wants to serve these aircraft. That is a chicken and egg problem measured in billions of dollars and years of build-out. Airlines won't buy the airplanes without the fuel, and nobody builds the fuel network without the airplanes. Problem 3. The cryogenic liquid hydrogen challenge I mentioned. For anything bigger than a commuter, you almost certainly need liquid hydrogen to get useful range, and keeping that liquid stable and safe in daily airline service is genuinely unproven at scale. Problem 4. Certification. The Federal Aviation Administration and its European counterpart have decades of rules built around burning kerosene. high-pressure hydrogen tanks, cryogenic systems, fuel cells, high-voltage electrical architecture. All of that needs new certification standards written more or less from scratch. That is not a technology problem. It's a paperwork and precedent problem, and those can be slower than the engineering. So, what's the honest timeline? Here's where I'll be straight with you, because Vector doesn't sell vaporware. Small 9 to 19-seat commuter aircraft flying revenue routes on hydrogen electric power, in limited markets, in the late 2020s is plausible. ZeroAvia is targeting the back half of this decade for the ZA-600 to enter service. And while every aerospace timeline slips, the class of airplane is right. Short routes, modest energy needs, gaseous hydrogen you can actually handle today. The bigger regional airliners, the 40 to 80 seat machines, that's the 2030s, and it depends on liquid hydrogen maturing and the infrastructure showing up. And the big single aisle jet you fly on to go see your family? Hydrogen is a very long shot for that mission for a very long time. The physics of storing enough hydrogen for a long haul jet is brutal. Don't hold your breath, and don't believe anyone who promises it soon. Here's the way I'd file all of this in my own head. As an engineer and a pilot, Battery Electric owns the short end. Trainers, short hops, quiet local flying. Hydrogen Electric is the most credible bet for the middle, the regional and commuter world, the routes between smaller cities that keep whole regions connected. And good old kerosene, probably with sustainable aviation fuel blended in, is going to own the long-haul heavy lifting for a long, long time. It's not one technology winning. It's the right tool for each mission, which, come to think of it, is how we've always chosen airplanes anyway. What makes the hydrogen story worth watching isn't a promise of a clean sky next year. It's that somebody put a fuel cell on a wing of a real Dornier 228, kept a known good engine on the other wing, and actually flew it, and told you honestly what it was. That's how new aviation technology is supposed to arrive, not with a press release. With a flight test card and a careful envelope expansion and a healthy respect for everything that can go wrong. The details today came from ZeroAvia's own program disclosures, coverage in the aviation press, and the airworthiness framework the FAA and European regulators are still writing as this technology matures. You can find more of my breakdowns over at radiohanger.com. Next time you watch a turbine spool up at the fence, listen to that roar and picture the airplane that just hums and leaves a little trail of water vapor. It's not science fiction. It's a plumbing problem. And plumbing problems, we solve. This is Vector. Keep asking how it works.